Right? They try and be different. There's something different about us. But there was a powerful reaction to Jesus. And fear and faith are on a spectrum, right? Sometimes we just got a little bit of fear. And sometimes we're overwhelmed by fear. Sometimes we got a little bit of faith. And sometimes we're immersed in who God is and overwhelmed with faith. As we walk through this, none of the scripture, all the scriptures coming up on the screen, but I encourage you to look up Mark chapter 5, because none of it's going to come up on there. A couple of pictures will and stuff like that. I will read it through, because I don't assume that we've all read it, though I think it would be great if we were reading along with Mark as we walk through this, because there's a lot more in these passages than what I'm able to cover in our time together on Sunday morning. I think God has more for us. So I'd encourage you to read it during the week as well, but certainly this morning, have your word open. And I even want to jump back to the end of chapter 4, because the disciples were out on a boat, and some of them are fishermen. They're going across, and Jesus is sleeping, if you remember last week. And they wake him up, and his response to them is, "Why are you so afraid?" Here's the fear. "Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They wake up Jesus. He confronts their fear. He addresses it, calms the storm. And he goes, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And he pits these against each other on this spectrum of fear and faith. It's a common theme throughout Mark. In fact, it's a common theme in Scripture. How many times in Scripture, I'm not looking for the exact number, but thinking about it for a moment, we can think of several times where we hear, "Fear not." Be encouraged, or have courage, is to walk through our fears and the things that would be coming at us. But we walk through it because we have courage. We have faith in God that's greater than our circumstances. Almost every time an angel appears in Scripture, it's, "Be not afraid." And we really do need faith on our stormy days, don't we? Just like the disciples. There's storms that hit our lives of all sorts of kinds. Some of them are emotional storms. Some of them are physical. Some of them are relational. And our lives are rocking away and we feel out of control on the boat. And at least the disciples had a little bit of faith, not to act in and of themselves or call on God like Jesus was trying to model for them, any challenges, but at least they went to Jesus with their faith. Went to the right source to address it. But they were also very much overcome with fear in their stormy days, weren't they? So where are we on our spectrum of fear and faith this morning? As we continue into chapter 5, these themes keep coming and playing out. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. We go to the next picture. Here he comes. He lived among the tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So this is a guy so full of demons and anger and all sorts of other horrible stuff that even chains can't hold him. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles to pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. I mean, this is a wild man of wild men. We've seen some, pretty extreme behavior, or I have, in different settings. People on drugs or losing it for one reason or another. But this is extreme, obviously. And people were afraid of him. And we continue to read here. the next verse is, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out in a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He calls him a very accurate name that I've pointed out before. "I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" I mean, the demons recognize Jesus for who he really is. With a shriek, the demon-possessed man screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High?" In the name of God, basically, this phrase means, "I beg you, don't torture me." He recognized Jesus had the authority and the power to do it. And there's other times where demons confront Jesus and they say, "Our time hasn't come yet." And they're petitioning him, "Don't do something serious to us." There's even a fear in the demon's reply. And the demon replies here, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. Jesus didn't send them into them. He gave them permission to manifest the pigs. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned. And it's a good thing someone had their iPhone there to catch it on video or a picture so that we have it. No, we have the words recorded here. We know it happened. But it terrified the people around. The herdsmen fled. They ran away. The people that saw this, they're going, "I'm out of here." And they told it to the people in the city and in the country. And people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and they saw the demon-possessed man. Listen to this transformation. They saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion of spirits in him, sitting there, clothed. Just that all by itself caught their attention. He's got clothes on. And in his right mind. And they were filled with praise for God. No. Scripture says, and they were afraid. It's almost like they're more afraid of this guy sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, than they were because they got used to the wild man hanging about among the tombs. And they were afraid, terrified, because such a great change had taken place. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. They're filled with fear. "Go away, Jesus. You're the one that brought this crazy change about." And thousands of pigs went and drowned themselves. They lost sight of the healing that had gone on. They got used to a demonized person living in the tombs there. And they're so uncomfortable with that and giving in to their fear. "Get out of our region." Demon removal heals a person's mind. Putting it in a different version here, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. An interesting response, to be filled with fear. And this goes on. As he, Jesus, was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. That's cool, hey? You've healed me so much. Can I come and be with you, Jesus? Jesus has called other disciples, other followers, come and be with me. But to this man, he says, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He went away, that is the man that was healed, and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, a kind of loosely knit area of 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. This word here, marveled, has both senses of the spectrum we're talking about this morning. There's some who feared, and there's some who had faith, and there's many who were on the spectrum of both, some of each. They marveled. I don't know if I should fear what's going on here because it's crazy and out of my control, or if I should have faith in this Lord who has changed this man so dramatically. I wonder where you're on that spectrum this morning. You hear about a healing going on. Are we filled with faith? Or are we, boy, I hope he doesn't do that too close to me because I'd be really uncomfortable with that. There's a sense of awe, right? Kids are way better at it. They respond to what's going on, but we respond internally as adults. Story is one of fear. Everyone is filled with fear in this story. It starts with fear. There's the demonized guy. We can't even contain him with chains. We've given up on it. The demons are afraid that Jesus would pronounce judgment on them. The onlookers are filled with fear. They don't understand what's going on. The onlookers even more, that when the more people come, townspeople come out, go away. We're filled with fear. And who has faith in this story? No one really until the end of the story. The man demonstrates a faith in Jesus. And he goes away proclaiming what had happened. And that those who he shared with marveled. And so some of them had a faith by hearing his story. Some people need to hear your story to grow in their faith and move from fear to faith. They need to hear your story. This passage continues. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side from where he had healed the man, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little girl is at the point of death. Can you feel this man's emotions? Right? You ever had a child so sick, there's nothing more you can do for them. They're at the point of death. This man comes to Jesus, and he's a leader of the synagogue. Jairus, he falls down at Jesus' feet and implores him, begs him, please come. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. He demonstrates a faith. It's kind of shift gear, swings the pendulum over in this story. And then it shifts gears again, and the emphasis is on someone else. And the great, so Jesus went with him, that part ends. And then the great crowd follows him and thronged about him. I described this last time, but just to be crowded in, they're pressing in. This isn't a nice term here where they're keeping their, you know, North American politically correct space around them. This is pushing in. This is a crazy situation again. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years she's been bleeding, and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but slowly grew worse. she had heard the reports about Jesus, another person hearing a testimony, keep that in mind this morning, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, thought to herself, if I just touch his garments, I will be made well. We've got another person with some faith here, pursuing Jesus. She heard and she acted on what she heard. She demonstrated a faith. She pursues Jesus. If I could just touch his garments, I'll be healed. And immediately, here's what her faith does. Jesus does, by an act of faith. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that disease. Just like that. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?' Who within a 10-foot radius hasn't touched you in the last couple seconds?" Like they just got this incredible, what? How can you, so wise, you ask this crazy question? Teacher, you losing it, man? Like the disciples are, what is going on? But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in, right? She comes to Jesus, touches this. She comes to Jesus now in fear. She's shifted over on the spectrum. Knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So even though she's filled with fear, she's demonstrating incredible courage. And she tells him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your fear has made you well." No, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Jesus wasn't condemning her. He was loving on her, wanted to bring clarity to her. Daughter, the message says, puts it this way, as you can see on the screen. Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you've been healed and made whole. Live well. Be blessed. Live blessed. Be healed. Do you need Jesus to touch some of your fears this morning? Are you desperate enough to push through a crowd or whatever else hinders you just to touch a piece of him, to hear a word that he has to say? And be healed. Be healed by that act of faith. This continues on. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house, it shifts back to the other story, some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So Jairus, right, he's come, bows down before Jesus. "Come, my daughter's on the point of death. Come." Jesus says, "Yes." He says, "Yes." He's following along. This great crowd comes around him. Woman sneaks up, touches his cloak. She's healed. He deals with the woman. And now he's just headed back, ready to go to Jairus' house. And some people traveling come over from Jairus' house and they say, "Jairus, quit bugging the teacher. She's already dead. The mourning, grieving has already started. Don't bother him any further. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But sometimes there's a bit, buts in scripture are huge, big but. Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler, again he addresses his fear. What's his fear? "Oh, I've tried, I've done whatever I can. My fear is now we got to face this as a family," right? But Jesus says to him, overhears what the people giving the message said, and says to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, but believe." But believe. Have faith. Don't give in to fear. Have faith. As believers, we're not called to live in fear. We're called to live by faith. Another version puts it, ignoring what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. We need to take that to heart sometimes and ignore what's causing us to fear so much. Right? Like Darren's friends, consumed with fear of snakes, and he's missing out on a relationship with God and what God has for him because he's giving in to his fears. So ignore that. Ignore the wrong reports and believe. Believe the promises of Jesus. There's lots of promises in Scripture, and sometimes we skip over them and go, oh yeah, that's nice, it was for them. But there's a promise in it for us as well, but we're not taking it to heart. And the enemy, or even our own thinking, whatever circumstances, stir up that fear. We're called to turn from fear and walk in faith. Ignore what's inspiring our fear. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There's that word again. The story continues. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. Sometimes when we live out of faith, people are going to laugh at us for all sorts of reasons. We could get into that. We won't take the time this morning. Have faith anyways. If God said it, we believe it and we need to act on it. But he said to them all, or he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, that's that small group that he kept with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. Would have been cool to be in that room, hey? And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement, similar to that marveled word. There's some fear, there's, I don't know what's going on here, but there's also that growing faith of, wow, this man is of God, he's different. There's also that growing of faith. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this. He told them to give her something to eat, meet her practical needs. I don't know how long they took traveling there. But I want to go back to what he said to that ruler. When he got the bad information, but don't be afraid, just believe. Will we believe God this morning? I dealt with it last week. He's the God of miracles, but we believe it here, sort of. And he did miracles in the biblical times, but really? Is he the God of miracles today? And he's inviting us, don't be afraid. Believe. And then take some steps towards that belief. Sneak up and touch his cloak. Sneak out, read his Bible. Engage with him. God, I need this. This is the fear that is overwhelming me. Ignore my fear and turn towards faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to take some action and demonstrate our faith, even if our faith is that small. Because fear will overwhelm us. It'll prevent us from living a life God has for us. The story continues as we get into chapter 6 here, just a little bit. Don't be afraid, just believe. And then it shifts again. He, that is Jesus, went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. It's that same word. There's some fear. There's lots of, on that spectrum, lots of responses there. But instead of turning towards and growing that little bit of faith, that astonished piece, they immediately turn around and walk towards fear and stifling. And they're, so they start with being amazed, perplexed, and in awe, saying, where did this man get these teachings? Get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? So they're hearing the reports, they're understanding some of it. Then they shift. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now they're offended. This is a guy we know. And he's presenting himself as something huge and big. No, he wasn't. He wasn't presenting himself that way. He was just coming as he truly was. And they start with a marvel, and there's an opportunity to move towards faith. And they go, oh, that's just dismiss it. Explain things away. This is a guy we know. And Jesus understands what's going on here. He said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And the risk, brothers and sisters, is the longer we walk with Jesus, maybe we're not even really walking with him anymore. We're just doing church. We're going through the motions. And we're in that group in his hometown. We're pretty comfortable with who he is. And we're relatives. We get it. We're Jesus' brothers and sisters and of his own household. And we fail to see that he still is Jesus, far above us. And the result is he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled. Now it's Jesus' turn to marvel because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. They've lost who Jesus really is, and then he still works right in our personal scenarios. And they've lost it, and a prophet is without honor amongst those most familiar with them. Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any of the miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. See, faith and fear on this spectrum really do pit themselves against one another. If we bring up the next slide, I don't know if it's big enough for you to see. I can just barely read it on the back screen. But faith is commanded by God. Fear is commanded against, as I mentioned earlier. Fear not is repeated in Scripture. But fear is inspired by the demonic, the anti-God, anti-Christ. Faith comes by hearing and believing the word of God. Some believe the testimony of the demonized man, and they turn towards faith. But as the word says, they marveled, they were in awe. That's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to grow in faith, but there's also an opportunity, like the people in his hometown, turn towards fear and be overcome with that and dismiss what Jesus had done. Fear comes by hearing and believing an evil report. Right? Here, your daughter's already dead. And we get overwhelmed with the consequences or the circumstances. The opposition and the lies. And we're overwhelmed by the lie of it. Faith is a product of the Holy Spirit. Fear is a product of the Holy Spirits. Faith is a way of life for the believer. Fear is a way of life for the unbeliever. Stop and think about that for a minute. Whenever we turn towards faith, we're living like an unbeliever. Jesus has already broken into our lives. We've already given him our life. We got to live like we truly are. Live out our true identity. Those who live by faith. Faith results in wholeness and peace. Fear results in torment, despair, anxiety. Faith brings forth the promises of God, and fear brings forth calamity and destruction. Jesus hung around with the social outcasts. The ruler in his own way is a social outcast. So was the unclean woman. And he comes to them all. He comes to all people. And he says, have faith in God. Right? He said to his disciples, believe in God. Believe also in me. So where are you and I on this faith and fear spectrum? The next slide, what will we put on today? What will we have a tendency to turn towards when we're hearing stories of faith or reading about them? I'm reading another book right now on God doing miracles. There are opportunities to experience the faith, the power of God, and the miracle of God right up close and personal, or to turn away and live by fear and be overcome with it. What are you going to dress in today, tomorrow? What are you going to... Remember, this is the natural language. Fear is the natural language for an unbeliever, and they've got something to fear, certainly in final judgment, but they're overcome with all sorts of fears now. Are we going to put on the dress of an unbeliever, the shirt, or put on the new identity of faith, of a believer? The Son of God elicits both of these responses, fear and faith. Where do you need a touch from God this morning, right now? What's inspiring fear in you? Where do you need healing? Will you turn towards Him in faith, even if it's just that big? Or turn towards the fear and it gets blown up way bigger than reality and you're overcome by it? What will help you move from fear towards faith? Sometimes we're fixated on the fear, like the guy looking for snakes. We get fixated on it. It becomes huge. It takes on new dimensions. What will help us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? Right? The spiritual disciplines of the daily devotions isn't just because, well, we're supposed to and it earns brownie points with God. That's how He meets us and grows our faith so we can live the life that He's planned for us. Where does God need to meet you? Help turn you on that spectrum so we shift towards faith, away from fear. And next, I have another question. Who around you needs to hear some of your story, His story, history, His story through you, Jesus' story through you, to inspire their faith? I don't mean just in general. Okay, yeah, I guess, you know, I should tell my story sometime. I mean, who are you praying for regularly by name? Who are you praying for opportunities to share with? Somebody needs that. They're being overcome by fear and moving in this direction. But we can intercept that, just like the man was healed. We can intercept it and say, this is the real Jesus, and this is what He's done in my life. And they have that moment of being marveled. Yes, they still have the responsibility to choose what they're going to do with that story. But there's that possibility that they turn towards greater faith in Jesus and move that direction. Who specifically is God inviting you to impact towards a life of faith and freedom like we've been singing about this morning in Jesus? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You long to bring freedom. Freedom from fear. All sorts of other things in our lives that are overwhelming us, robbing us of abundant life. I pray You would reveal to each of us how we are still postured towards fear. And I pray further You would reveal how we can turn towards faith and act on and partner with you in growing our faith. What are we taking in? What information? Is it feeding our fear or feeding our faith? And what in the specific scenario are you revealing to us? How we need to act, take some small act of courage and push through the fear. Put it in its rightful place. It doesn't rule us. We are slaves of you alone, Jesus. May we act in that in some way. Maybe it's even to push through the fear of admitting it out loud. This is what's overcoming me right now. I'm afraid of this. And having other people step into our lives and pray for us. People here come to Jesus. And then all throughout Acts, they're coming to the apostles, coming to others. People heard the demoniac story. It's not because we have our whole lives all together. But if you've worked in us at all, we have a testimony and a proclamation. Just like the people of Scripture do. And Father, I pray you'd bring to our minds specific people that need to hear a story of faith. Maybe even in the telling of it, we need to be reminded of what you have done for us, in us, through us, around us. You are living and active and working among us, and people need to hear it. Would you bring specific people to our minds? Bring about opportunities this very week where we could turn towards fear. No, I don't know. What if I say this? What if I say it wrong? Blah, blah. Or we can turn towards faith and go, wow, here's one of those opportunities. You're leading me, God. To the best of my ability, I'm going to serve you right now by faith and share some of what you've done for me or in me and through me. God, help us be a people of faith for your glory and for your honor. I pray. Amen.